The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dose of Leadership Podcast, episode 145. Welcome to another episode of the Dose of Leadership Podcast, the show that brings you inspiring and educational interviews with today's most relevant and motivating leaders. Each episode is dedicated to highlight real-life leadership and influence experts who dedicate their lives to the pursuit of the truth, common sense, and courageous leadership. And now, here's your host, Richard Ryerson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Richard Ryerson. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. This show is brought to you by my sponsor, Audible.com. If you're like me, you like to read, but you're having trouble finding the time to squeeze in all those great books, well, Audible.com is a perfect solution. Audiobooks are great. I never thought I would like them, but I love them now. It's a great way to get caught up. I listen to and get caught up on the book as I'm driving to work, if I'm exercising, any free time, working out in the yard. I can get caught up on all my reading. You can go to my website, doseofleadership.com/audible, and you can download a free audiobook. Any audiobook they have, over 100,000 titles to choose from. You can download it for free, listen to it. You can sign up for 30 days with no obligation. If you don't like it after 30 days, you can cancel your subscription. But again, it's no risk to you. Go check out doseofleadership.com/audible to make your smartphone smarter.
Well, I'm so excited to have on my show today Eve Wright Taylor. She's the author of a brand new book entitled Life at the Speed of Passion, Create a Life of Intention, Purpose, and Integrity. She's the Vice President and Associate General Counsel for the Miami Heat and the American Airlines Arena. Her track record of success ranges from the corporate law firm setting to the Ladies Professional Golf Association, LPGA, and the member team of the National Basketball Association. She believes that positive results don't happen all by themselves. If anything, there has to be an action or event that propels things into motion to produce winning results. She believes many people rush into life headlong without ever pausing to kick the tires on their chosen profession. Eve, thank you so much for coming. Welcome to the Dose of Leadership Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited that you're here. You know, we were talking a little bit in the pre-interview, and, you know, I was kind of telling my story about how this podcast started. You know, one thing that really resonated with me is your idea about intention and purpose. You know, you've got an amazing story. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you've got where you're at and why you're so passionate about leadership.
Well, that's a long story, but I'm happy to share it with you. This is an evolution, to be honest with you. I mean, certainly there are some things about my personality. I'm generally a pretty persistent person. I'm very assertive. I believe that closed mouths don't get fed. But all of those skills together, you don't always know what direction you're going in or how to navigate that.
Right.
So over my career, I've had the good fortune of kind of shortening my learning curve, relying on some experiences of other people who have been there and done that. So I take from those nuggets and have been able to develop strategies and techniques that I share in this book. How do you get to where you want to be? How do you figure out what your dream is, as opposed to what other people tell you your life should look like,
right?
And then how you put the pieces together to achieve that.
You know, you said some great things there. I mean, what, you know, I think for me, I know for so many times I felt like I had to do what I thought other people thought was best for me. Does that make sense? Instead of kind of following my passion's dream. Why do you think we do that?
Well, look, I mean, there are expectations, and I think there are people in our lives who love us and care about us, but they, you know, want certain things. You should be a lawyer, you should be a doctor, and, you know, there's certain status symbols or status expectations that they'll say, oh, you have to have the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, I think living by other people's terms, and it's probably easier, but it's just simply not as fulfilling. When you actually take a little bit of time to figure out what you're interested in, and even if you don't know, pursue different things, and then you can start to try to craft your life around those things that resonate with you, and ultimately make money. But to do those things that you're passionate about, so that you can have the best life, what you see for yourself.
So how did it start for you? I mean, where do you know, here you are, a young woman, where did you want to be? I mean, obviously, did you have it in your mind that you wanted to be where you're at today? I mean, how did it start for you?
Honestly, I didn't think I would be in sports, just because my view of sports law was very, very narrow. I always kind of knew I wanted to be a lawyer, but frankly, that wasn't even based on what I knew to be the daily in and out of being a lawyer very early on. If you talk to some of my family and friends, they're like, oh, yeah, we knew she was going to be a lawyer because she's not afraid to stand up and say what she thinks is right. Going to be a litigator. I am absolutely not a litigator. I'm on the business side. I'm like, let's make a deal, right?
Right.
but in terms of sports law, my view was from an agency side. I interned at a sports entertainment law boutique firm, and I said, yeah, that's really high maintenance. That's not for me. What I did recognize early on is that I had to find a place, a space that fit my personality, and what I could give to people and what I couldn't give to on that level. And so, lo and behold, I've had this magnificent career. You know, I say that magnificent, certainly people achieve more, but it's magnificent to me because I get the flexibility to do new things and explore new things while still working on a very myriad of interesting matters. And it just happens to be professional sports, so that's exciting. I also serve as on the board of directors for USA Track and Field, so that's another kind of that career in sports.
Okay,
as
so,
well.
So looking from the outside, you know, and I have four daughters, and my oldest is she's going to be a senior in high school next year. My youngest is a third grader.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you talk and we sit there and especially from a woman's perspective, you know, here you are, a sports attorney, a business executive, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, you're married too, right? And you have and you have kids. I mean, man, you have got a full plate. You know, what do you say to? I'm sure people ask you, and I'm asking you here. How do you balance it all? How do you make sure your priorities are right? Because if people listen to this show that know, I lost that sense. It became so unbalanced on my end. I was so focused on the career side that I lost sight of the family and the marriage there for a while. How do you keep it all in perspective?
So, again, this is kind of a personality thing for me because while I focused a long time on my career, I said, you know what, at the end of the day, I don't know that I'm going to feel good if only my career is right and nothing else in my life. I can't explore the other things in my life that I'm interested in, like being an author, like traveling, being married and having a family and all that sort of thing. Now, we just have one daughter. So for people with multiple kids, that's a whole different issue. But I will say, lots of people ask about balance. How do you find balance? I don't feel like I have balance, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't. What I do is I prioritize what's important to me.
Yeah.
And what's important to me is I had to spend some time with my family, spend some time developing my daughter. She's, you know, fairly young. She's a toddler. I got to spend some time on me because that makes me feel good about me. So that's my physical fitness and health and well-being. I kind of went through this whole transformation a few years back from being, diagnosed as really pre-diabetic to then ultimately changing my lifestyle to become a fitness competitor. There are just some things that I say, these are my priorities. And then of those priorities, this is what I need to do in each particular day.
I love
that.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the fact that you said it's priorities. Because I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, is that when you get kind of caught up in the race, there's a lot of things that you can intentionally cut out. It's having that kind of the discipline to make decisions, I guess. And because when you put things in a priority list instead of a to-do list, I guess is my point, it kind of forces you to make decisions, I guess, and be intentional about what your priorities are. And that kind of, I love what you said about that. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. And really to that point, look, there are things on my list that while they are important in some regard, they're just not my priority.
Right.
So it could be a month or two before I finally circle around to it. But, you know, in terms of, okay, everything is always in a balance, I just don't, some people have that, I don't have that. For me, it's what's important to me, and then for me to accomplish those things or work within that framework.
I love that you said that, and I agree with you. I don't think that – I think the balance thing is a myth. I think that, number one, I don't think you can have it. You know, some of the other cliches, how do you have it all? Well, you can't have it all. You know, like you said, if you have the priorities, there's certain things that sit on the back burner or don't even happen at all. You know, because you're constantly reevaluating your priorities, I guess, on a daily basis, right? I mean, this is something that you have to do intentionally day by day by day. This isn't something that just happens. You have to be intentional about it. You have to work at it.
Absolutely. And I also think while you can be apologized, because lots of people want your time and attention.
Right.
And while you can be certainly apologetic about, you know, I'm really sorry, I can't participate in what you're doing, maybe a few months we can kind of reconvene and figure out a way to work together or figure out a way to work together in another capacity. But what I don't think we should do is beat ourselves up because we can't be everything to everybody.
Yes, amen. Yeah, I love that. And I think that's how you achieve what you want to do. You know, that's when you start listening to your, if you have a priority list, number one, you're listening to your heart a little more. You're more in tune with your heart and what's important to you. And it helps you streamline your decision-making process. What I found amazing, the more that I started doing kind of what you started doing, I realized how much time I was wasting on kind of non-productive stuff, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more entrepreneurial I became, the more I realized, God, I'm watching a lot of, you know, time suck TV. It's just sucking the time out of my life, you know, and I'm not doing anything, right? There's so many things we can be doing that is so much more productive.
Absolutely. There are lots of distractions and lots of excuses to be made. And, you know, some of them are realities. Like, you know, they're always scarce resources. No matter how many resources you have or how much money or time or whatever, it's all scarce when you think about there's only so much of it to allocate to certain pursuits. And so what I talk about in this book is how you then go about making those decisions about how you allocate time and money to achieve what you want to do.
You know, part of the book, you talk about cutting the emotional fat from your life. What does that mean?
Well, I talk about it in two respects. Well, a few respects, but the two biggest ones are people, one. And not that all people are emotional fat, but there, I think you are the company you keep. So if you are trying to achieve a particular goal or trying to put your life together in the way that you envision it for yourself, I think being around and communicating regularly and having support of other driven people driven in that same direction is hugely helpful. When there are times, for sure, when I get tired, and I almost want to say, you know what, I'm just tired of doing it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I talk to some of those other friends. One good friend, I call her the Energizer Bunny, because she's also a full-time lawyer. She's a mama. She's got two boys, and she's married, and she's a jazz musician, like, tours internationally.
Wow.
And so I said, okay, really, I got to get my butt in gear, because every time I talk to you, so I get inspired, and she kind of uplift, and we do that for each other. So in terms of people who are not operating or who do not contribute to you like that, I think you got to kind of reassess how much you are involved with them. And not to say that they're bad people or what have you, not at all. I think you just kind of want to be around like-minded folks. So that's kind of cutting emotional fat. The other piece of emotional fat is doing excuses that we make, that we allow ourselves sometimes not to achieve or not to pursue, whether it's failure, fear, failure, or something else. Or, you know, I don't have the time, I have a demanding job, and I, you know, I have this, I have that, and for sure I've made them. And there just comes a point where the rubber hits the road. You make up your mind, okay, I either want to do this or I'm going to stop talking about it. Either way, you know, those are two distinct directions. And how you kind of cut the fat out of and the fluff out of dancing around it and just make a decision.
Yeah. Well, I certainly it resonates with me. I hear exactly what you're saying. I mean, how can you surrounding yourself with like-minded people, the more that you get around that kind of positive energy, and it sounds so cliche, but it is so true. You are the company, like you said, you are the company you keep. I mean, look at the five people that you're around the most, and that's who you are. And sometimes that can be painful when you look at that group of five. You're like, oh my gosh, you know.
and look, it's not a judgment about who they are as a human being.
Right.
It's just really about who, you know, I think those relationships are reciprocal. You keep them inspired, they keep you inspired.
Right.
But, or not, or they kind of hold you back, one or the other.
Yeah.
And so if you're determined to be on a particular goal, strategy, your work, executing your plan, like who can help you with that, even from just a spiritual, keep you uplifted type of place.
Yeah. You know, one thing I struggle with, and just early this morning, my wife and I were talking, and she was talking about, we were talking about the business, the entrepreneurial side, and I was talking about kind of my peaks and valleys, and, you know, and she says, gosh, you know, the thing that just drives me crazy, you know, she says, in her words, she goes, I just feel like I cannot complete anything. I just feel like I start something and then I just don't complete it. I can certainly relate, and I'm sure there's tons of us out there that have the same challenge. You know, mm-hmm. on that same vein of taking action, how do we do that? And I told her, I said, are you kidding me? You know, just because you can complete things, I don't know if it's, you know, the cliche to say it's ADHD or whatever, but I mean, how do we get past that hurdle of starting something and not seeing it through completion?
I think there are a lot of things that compete for our attention these days, much more than they used to be. So it's kind of hard, I think, to focus on any particular thing. So not only are they external things like television or internet, you know, social media, which is moving a mile a minute, but it's also things like, you know, the other obligations that we have in our lives, you know, that those sorts of things. I talk about some strategies and how we kind of combat that, but I will say I have found it easier when you have a long-term goal to then set shorter, achievable, bite-sized goals.
Yeah.
So you feel like you're crossing things off your list, like you're working to your goal, towards your goal, and you're achieving something. And so those achievements keep you motivated, and you don't feel so flustered that you can't reach your long-term goal because it's less within your grasp, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I like that. You know, it's a great point because you can get overwhelmed when you've got this kind of grandeur vision of this dream of where you want to be, and then it doesn't, you know, you're not seeing the immediate results. I think tied to that, too, that's helped me along the way is understanding that, you know, to get to wherever it is you want to do, whatever your goal is, it's not a series of well-orchestrated plans that are successful. It's almost like they're plans, and you set out, but there's always a setback, or no, I didn't account for that, or so it's always a series of missteps, setbacks. Do I even say failures? Maybe that, but you just keep plugging along, and you adjust, you know, based on those little setbacks, and then eventually you reach your goal. I think for me, I used to think it was always a series of perfect plans, you know, that led to the achievement. I don't know. What do you think about that?
No, I absolutely agree with you. You know, when we see it in our minds, we see it very linearly. So from here to there, straight line, past the finish line, goal, we win. But I don't think it's like that in real life. For sure, I can say my career and my achievements, even as a small business owner, we take some steps to the right, we take some mental steps to the far left. Progressing forward each time, but definitely not in a straight line. But as long as we're moving forward, progressing forward, even with the failures, seeing those things as progress. And I will tell you, as a type A, that is not my not my strong suit, because it's pass or fail, win, lose, and those sorts of things, very stark in my mind. But, you know, I've been reminded time and time again, even in things that I see as failures, I actually went to the end because I did it, you know?
That's right.
And so I talk about some strategies in the book about how you position yourself if you're afraid of fear to overcome it.
Yeah.
And use it as a propeller as opposed to an obstacle.
Yeah, I love that you said that and we talk about overcoming fear a lot on the show. And probably the biggest thing that I've learned about talking to people like yourself and even living it myself is understanding that the fear and uncertainty never goes away, does it? Never. No matter how successful you may seem on the outside, you're dealing with self-doubt and fear probably on a daily basis, aren't you?
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, I'm pretty comfortable in my career space, but there's always something new to learn. There's always something new to deal. And, you know, the other day I'm like, oh my gosh, something is imploding. That's terrible.
Right.
I need to say that. or with our business, I will tell you it involves manufacturing a product and distributing a product. That's not my sweet spot. I'm as a lawyer, as a trained as a lawyer. My husband's trained as a doctor. We don't know anything about manufacturing. So even starting that process, getting it off the ground and growing that business is a hurdle in and of itself. So it's every day something is new, you know, if you're doing anything and you're dealing with that. It's how do you deal with that, overcome it, and use it to push you ahead.
Yeah. You seem like a person to me that is definitely tuned into it's all about the journey. It's not about, certainly you have goals and where you want to be, and I'm sure that but you don't seem like a person that says, aha, I've arrived. To me, it seems like you're tapped into life's about a series of journeys. Am I reading you right?
You know what? I'm from the Midwest, and so, yes. People are like, what does the Midwest have to do with me? I think everybody puts on their pants one leg at a time.
Yeah.
So I am, and everybody's very much, you know, same playing field. So I will never say, you'll never hear me say, I've arrived.
Yeah.
I've made it. There's lots of mountains to conquer and to traverse, so absolutely.
Yeah.
You're absolutely dead on.
if I hear somebody saying that, the next thing is like, you're preparing yourself for a fall. I think if you're saying, I've made it, you know, I've arrived, and we see that.
I've been fortunate, but there's still stuff to do.
Absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, very good. So, who are your? I'm curious. You know, who? Oh, sorry about that. Who have your heroes been?
Oh my gosh! I have so many that I don't know, and then just. People I do know, you know, Oprah, I think, is, of course, amazing. Just in her personal story, what she's been able to achieve and just really being true to herself and the message, that's particularly awesome. But
yeah.
It goes, I might pick characteristics from people that I admire. So even if it's my mom, she's a person that can communicate with anybody on any level. And I appreciate that, and I strive to make sure that I stay true to that. Or, you know, my best friend from college, he built a charter school system of 6 schools from the ground up.
Wow.
Which completely blows me away. I mean, just, I think there are aspects and achievements and things about each of us that is admirable. And so I kind of try to focus in on those things and pick and choose, like, man, you know, that's amazing. That characteristic really, you know, I could probably hone that or use that in some way and talk to me about what you did.
Yeah. You're standing on so many shoulders, it's hard to say,
mm-hmm.
There's so many shoulders that we're standing on and I love that you said about your mom, but everybody I talk to on the show asks that question. They always go back to a parent, and it always mm-hmm. sobering to me to remind me of how critical we are or influential we are to our kids, and so it puts things in proper perspective for me anyway, so thank you for sharing that.
And I will tell you, oh, no problem, I will tell you, she challenged me very early on, you know, you think for yourself, good, bad, or indifferent, you think for yourself, and so that really probably encouraged me more to start talking.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I'm very comfortable with what, you know, where I am in my spectrum of what's right and wrong. Whether that means I'm in a crowd of people or I'm on an island. And I'm sure she regretted that during my teenage years in particular.
Yeah.
I was a pretty mouthy teenager. But it has actually served me quite well. And I don't know if she hadn't emphasized that, if I'd be the same person, honestly. You just never know how things influence you.
Yeah. What did she do? What did your mom do? Did she work or was she stay home?
Yeah, she still works. She still lives in Indianapolis. She designs call centers and trains people on them. So, you know, came up through like Indiana Bell and Texas Tech and all, you know, on the telephone communication side.
Wow.
You
talk about in your book a lot about instincts.
Okay.
And
yes.
And how important is listening to your gut to you?
Pretty important. And I can't say I'm dead on all the time, but, you know, I tend to steer wrong when I don't listen to my instincts. I use it to rely heavily on just assessing a person's character you know, whether I'm going to do business with them or, you know, kind of bring them in. Is this somebody I can work with or trust? and heavily intentionally driven, and and it's worked for me. It's worked for me.
Yeah. What do you think? You know, what do you think some of the biggest challenges we have? Obviously, you're in a lot of areas in both business and in home and in life. What do you think some of the biggest challenges that we face on an individual level, on a leadership level?
Geez, I think one is, you know, our attention is pulled in so many directions. And how do we stay focused? How do we motivate people? How do we delegate? That's something I always, that's always top on my list in terms of reminding myself I can't do it all.
Yeah.
So finding good people that you can work with and you can delegate to, and then who understand teamwork, and then communicating to folks and training folks in that way. I know some people, some other leaders, operate differently. There's some folks that are focused on kind of hide the ball or worried about training people because they feel like they will take their place. I just operate in a different dynamic because even from a very selfish place, if I train you, we're a great team. I look like a fantastic leader. And at the end of the day, I've trained someone who is going to be a, you know, what I presume to be a loyal team member, a productive team member, because they have all, they have the information they need to be successful and they have the tools they need to be successful. So I'm big on that. I'm big on that.
Love your answer. What advice would you give me, a father of four daughters? They're about to enter adulthood. How do I keep them? How do I show them that the world is their oyster, that they can achieve pretty much anything they set their mind to?
Just examples. I think spending time with them, because you pouring into them means so much, that father-daughter relationship. And, you know, I'm beating my husband up already. He's like, your kid can't even talk. They don't understand how important it is. And their whole self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yeah.
So I think with that kind of foundation, they'll then know and feel like they can accomplish anything. The world is theirs.
Yeah. Well, gosh, what a great example you are setting for a lot of people out there. I think you're a true gem. I love what you're doing, the book that you have, Life at the Speed of Passion. You're a tremendous example, a great leadership example, a great a positive example for everybody out there, both men and women alike. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you, and I'm going to have to take you on the road with me because that was way too nice.
Well, we're here to help. You always have a welcome home here at Dose of Leadership. How can people get in touch with you, Eve, and where can they find your book and find a little bit more about you?
Sure. I'd love for people to get in touch, stay in touch. They can find the book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's available now, and it'll be carried in some bookstores. The release date is April 21st. They can follow, they can check me out at Eve Wright's. One word, WRITHC.US. They can sign up to stay in touch. I'll do blogs and newsletters from time to time, and then I'll post where I'm going to be. I'm going to do a tour related to this book, so I'd love for to communicate with folks one-on-one and have them come out and say hello. And then the book site is lifespeedpassion.com.
All right. I'll have links to all this on this post when I post this interview. Eve, what a pleasure. I'm so glad to have finally met you. I look forward to staying in touch with you in the future. And again, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Richard invites you to become a part of the Dose of Leadership community. Visit doseofleadership.com and sign up to receive his free Common Sense Leadership ebook, a guide that highlights how all of us can learn to become calm, confident, consistent, and courageous in all aspects of our lives. Richard is also available as a speaker for your next event. Richard specializes in practical leadership and change management. He has a philosophy of inspiring everyone to think and act like a leader, which is based on timeless natural principles and common sense. You can get more info by visiting doseofleadership.com.